Welcome to Awakening Matters with your host, Cynthia Sloan. This show is about illuminating the very real truth. We all have gifts to offer and are born with them. With that said, I welcome everyone to participate by calling in or commenting, and to really know that your comments are very, very much invited, and as well as any questions you might have, etc. You can do that by calling toll-free 1-888-627-6008. Again, toll-free 888-627-6008. Also, you can call, not toll-free, locally, 530-327-7602. Again, 530-327-7602. So, I welcome everyone. And for the last two shows, I have been really excited and sharing with great joy and a full heart the experience of being honored and humbled to channel Alexor, who was a Lemurian light being from when his experience was on this earth plane. And he's not a he, I just refer to him in that version out of the simplicity of our language, but he is very much an androgynous being who communicated with me some 10 to 11 years ago, and I have been, my life has changed as well as the lives of many who have been able to sit with him through sitting with me as I, like I said, I am honored to receive him and to channel him and have been doing so. You know, Alexor is a being of a very high vibrational frequency, which means we are all in our human body made up of, as well, of vibration, energy, electricity, and so on and so forth. And Alexor is an individual being who participates in a council, universal council of beings. And when I asked him, with the dialogue that I have with him quite often, what that council gathered for, he said to answer the call. And I said, what call? And he said, the call of humanity, that for centuries, beings all over the world had been praying individually or gathering in groups and praying or setting the intention or asking for the end of and the help with the end of war or suffering or disconnection, loss, pain, illness, etc. And that for centuries, beings of all levels and forms had been coming to humanity, whether in the dream state or awakened state, through any type of physical tool that an angelic presence, if you will, can come through to send a message or to show up for you. That Alexor and the Council had been doing so, and I'm sure many beings in the universe comprise the focus and the desire upon Mother Earth and beings in form upon her have been doing so as well. So I was asked if I would channel Alexor and be an embodiment, basically a human microphone, so that humanity would be able to look upon a form and relate to it, and also be able to relate to the information coming through. So I was just taken aback and in awe to the amount of love, purity, and light that I felt, this universal oneness. So, of course, not even knowing what I was signing up for, I was honored and deeply moved. And that's been about 10 or 11 years. Alexor has been talking to children who gather, scientists about the universe, doctors about medicine, politicians about government, celebrities, all kinds of beings. And I find that what is interesting is that the information is very universal that is offered. And if I constantly get the feedback that if it's a group setting, that every answer that a lecturer gives individually to one person in the group, everyone is able to receive from that. And so I'm deeply honored for the constant confirmation and validation by all who gather, regardless of their title in this lifetime or their journey and where they are in their journey, about the feedback that I get that a lecturer has been helping, guiding, healing, and inspiring people for 10 years. So part of what a lecturer offers as well is toning through utilizing my vocal cords in a way that the toning is, some people have described it as standing in the face of a jet engine. That's how strong and present and the fullness that comes through. And a lecturer has shared with me through questions that I have composed and then somebody has asked the lecturer for me and that has been recorded, that the toning comes as a raw, pure energy. It doesn't come predefined, predetermined. It doesn't come preassigned to you or to a location of your life, your health, or your purpose and place in that moment. It comes as a instrument of raw, pure energy, and it's to amplify your intention, to amplify your intention. So whatever you want to focus on, I invite everyone always to focus on themselves first so the energy can work with them and then through them. And then focus on any area of their personal life. It can be a relationship, past life, present life, future endeavor. Sending the energy to clear the pathway before you arrive, or to create with it, and then absolutely to send it to relatives or individuals or even parts of the world that you want to basically navigate and co-create this amplified, raw, pure energy that comes to you as an offering. Not as a have to or should or as a command or a demand. Nothing that a lecturer offers ever is that. And if it resonates with you only, then you're invited to utilize that energy as a divine instrument and tool to amplify your intention and then to go beyond beyond that. I've had feedback from individuals saying to me that they have had life changing in the most positive ways of experiences. A lot of healings have occurred. One individual had a detached retina at the beginning of the session. When the session was over, his retina, of course, was reattached. One person showed up with hives all over her body from a very bad reaction to medication. By the time the channeling was over, there was not a hive to be seen nor a trace of it. It's just endless validations, confirmations, and testimonies of really what I'm saying here is not a lecturer doing anything to anyone or for them. A lecturer doesn't really ever state, I'm going to heal you, but instead how the trust is embedded in the sacred geometry that the individual who's receiving this amplified electromagnetic field or source of light, however you want to define it, is able in their infinite wisdom to navigate and define for themselves how they want it to be utilized. And people have had instantaneous healings and then long-term healings, etc. But it's really been a deeply humbling and amazing opportunity to be otherworldly, in fact, to be a part of that experience with so many people. Alexa utilizes not only my vocal cords, but, and once Alexa utilized my vocal cords and I heard it, it was recorded, I thought, wow, because the notes that are coming through, there's more than one note. Some people say it sounds like Tibetan monks. Some people say it's interesting, the feedback, because it's very much in relationship to the individual seated and gathered, but individualized. Some individuals have said to me it sounds like a symphony of different notes all together as one. And he holds these notes, or this energy is held through my body without really breathing for a period of time that is long beyond what my personal lung capacity can hold when I'm not channeling in Luxor. So it's fascinating to see, to be really in awe, and which I am always in awe and in wonder at how much we don't know as a humanity. And I guess if there was any title or dimension to this particular show that I'm sharing with all of you, it would be, based on awe and wonder. And I'll get more into that as we proceed. So Alexa, without using my eyes, also utilizes, the ability to move around, walk around, and, seeing everything as raw, pure energy, has also offered individuals to lay on a massage table, and then he works with the guides of the individual and the Universal Council around the entire being, around the table, walking and doing what many people have mentioned to me looks like a sacred choreography, sacred dance, a very fast movement, sometimes so fast that you can't see his hands and at one time. So it's been fascinating to, I've actually had it recorded and watched it on a CD or DVD rather, and been just in awe, just complete awe. And many people have felt, when they have gotten up off the table, very, very, affected and very positive and very full of life force. And before anyone who gathers with Alexor does, I let everyone know what happens with you today is very much aligned to what you want to get out of it. And so I invite everyone to set their own intention prior to the sacred gathering with Alexor. And so it's just really an awe-inspiring experience, which brought me to thinking about Christmas, which just passed, and the idea of quality exchanges, the idea of gifts. And what Spirit was talking to me about was that oftentimes the feeling that a gift gives us, especially if it's given to us, well, really by anyone, it doesn't have to be a relative, is such more so a validation and a confirmation to the person who is receiving the gift that they have been seen. If the gift is what they want, that they have been heard, they have been validated, and they have been included, and that they matter. And so really, when we think about gift giving, it's really about the feeling of that exchange that I think that remains the ongoing experience, to the point where whether it's a child or an adult, once that gift was given and that feeling we had when we picked up that gift 5 or even 10 years down the line, and we have that feeling again of that memory in our cellular body and our emotional body, it's that feeling that that gift keeps giving. It's what the gift represents. Sometimes that is what outlasts even the gift itself. So it's an interesting perspective that I invite everyone to participate in and really contemplate in what you have received. To the degree that if you haven't received something that you desired, look around at what you have received and really look at how it makes you feel. And if you feel negative, in this time, in this season, then the invitation is that you shift your focus onto what is the smallest and most minutest aspect that you can focus on and think about that you are, that you still find yourself in wonder and in awe over. So my invitation to you is that you look out into nature and what still, when you hear it, see it, or feel it, gives you a sense of fullness, a sense of awe, a sense of wonder. Because really, on a level of humanity, do you ever wonder why nature is so magnificent? Nature is so beautiful that it really takes our breath away, that our eyes rest on some landscapes, more so than others, but some that it takes our deep breathing and expansion of our heart just to take in that landscape. And so it is the very awe and wonder of those landscapes that I am inviting you to contemplate, only if it resonates, of course, that that landscape exists within you. And that you might actually no longer feel awe or wonder at what you're seeing around you because you're overwhelmed, because understandably so, all chaos is going on, or you've simply lost interest on focusing on your universal self and just one aspect of you. But nonetheless, I invite you to contemplate this concept. If you're no longer in awe of what you see around you, there's a possibility that you're not seeing yourself any longer from a universal perspective. So the next time you feel out of awe and wonder of everything around you, I would invite you to stop and think that it might still be that everything around you is still in awe of you. So let me explain that. If you feel that you have, in wherever you are in your life and your journey, no one around you to validate you, love you, gift you, or have a quality exchange with you, then my invitation to you is to remember that nature, the very nature around you, the very makeup of everything that is alive, and nature is very alive and able to communicate. In fact, all of our surroundings are communicating with us 24 hours a day, including those embodied in form and out of body, angels, guides, loved ones, winged ones, all have something to say. And just because humanity is not tuning in doesn't mean that conversation comes to an end. That conversation and that divine dialogue is constant with each other, if nonetheless with humanity included. And I am very fortunate to be able to hear that and participate in it. So let me be that reminder, voice, and vision for you, about you, and invite you to contemplate how other forms on this magnificent plane of demonstration might also react and relate to you. And I can almost guarantee you that a relationship of divinity and of love and of fullness is what's coming towards you from what you might possibly no longer look upon, but you might, in the invitation of today, through me, to you, start looking at it differently, and you might feel part of something bigger than just what you're trying to solve right at the moment. So, with that said, I think the greatest gift, since Christmas has just passed, and I was contemplating that as well, is the gift of hope. How to have it, find it, and more importantly, how to hold on to it. I think hope has a lot to do with wonder and awe. I think hope has a lot to do with belief, intention, and what we focus on. Our humanity, we will certainly, and with understanding, be focused on what is the latest and most sometimes loudest aspect of life that is talking to you out loud. And then wonder and awe and hope is the underlining that is possibly aligned to your spirit and to your universal self, your higher self, or to the space in between blades of grass or two flowers growing together and then opening up to face if those sounds no longer awaken you to the simplicity and to the magnificence of that hope still exists because that child's laughter does, or because you just felt yourself move or feel moved within in a way that you haven't in so long, let that be the fuel that you allow to grow within you. And first you want to give yourself permission to have hope, and then you want to find it within. And I invite you to use your outer external world, anything that you can look upon, and you can even talk to hope. Hope is an energy. It's very alive. As an example to you only, you can ask hope to show itself to you so that you can create a relationship with it by recognizing it and then allowing yourself to claim it or to receive it and allow it to be an energy present inside of you. And how to hold on to it. There's a possibility very strong in what has been communicated to me by the energetic, let's say, presence of hope itself, that if you have lost hope, that hope has not forgotten or let go of you. And so you want to really contemplate that the energy of hope has not disconnected from you, even if you feel like you have disconnected from it. And the way to know that is to really reconnect within and invite the relationship of hope to be reactivated in your energy body and to be included in the body of work of your emotional, mental, and spiritual outlook. By doing so, you will absolutely invite the presence and the fullness of a missing ingredient that might absolutely carry you to the next level and then to the next and to the next. So I invite you, along with giving gifts to everyone around you, whether that gift is your presence or it's a gift physically in itself, I invite you to very much give yourself the gift this Christmas, this New Year's, right now, of inviting a deep relationship with hope, and that you don't even have to define what your hopes are. If that's going to give you a closeness to that relationship, then please do. But just know that hope has an infinite intelligence itself. And by inviting hope in, it will, in its infinite intelligence and alignment to you, create a relationship of knowing and go directly to where there is lack, where there is a lack of hope, and where there is disconnect within you. So let this season of winter and into 2012, I invite you to let it be a year of awe and wonder and hope. And how can you every day either wake up or go to sleep or even check in the middle of the day or all of the above, tuning into activating and relating to those intentions of hope, most importantly, awe and wonder, because those are really the energetics that are going to raise your vibration. And speaking of that, to raise your vibration, I mean, how many times have we seen or heard children, regardless of age, from child, from an infant on up, with so much energy, with so much hope and awe and wonder and questions. And again, I return to the energy aspect of it. And what Spirit shared with me today is, it's the ability to be in awe and wonder that raises your vibrational frequency higher. So let me repeat that. It's the ability to be in awe and wonder that raises your vibrational frequency higher. It raises it to a vibration connected to creation of the very substances, let's say, of nature, of all kinds of sacredness that don't rely on humanity's permission to be, but are possibly present in our surroundings to remind humanity that humanity is part of that landscape of perfection, light, and love and beauty instead of excluded from it. So the next time you find yourself down and feeling a lack of high vibration, I invite you to focus on something that gives you awe and wonder, whether it's a physical object, a thought, a memory, and really focus on it. Let your senses participate in it. Let your feeling senses, your sight, smell, sound, all your senses participate in what you're focusing on, and you'll find that you raise your vibration to the level of the beauty, the wonder, and the awe of what you're looking at. You have just also raised yourself and included yourself in that beautiful picture. So that's an invitation that is ongoing and open from the heart. You know, I'd like to invite everybody at this time to get comfortable, not that you weren't, but maybe even more comfortable. I'm going to share a very short dialogue with you that was very inspiring to me. And it's a dialogue about, I believe, awe and wonder. And wherever you are in your life, whatever struggle you are facing, whatever feeling most intense or chaotic that you are feeling, I invite you to hear this story, this telling of it, and I invite you to remember that when you no longer believe or are connected to the belief that there's anything to have awe or wonder about, I remind you that there's very little, and there's so much, there's very little that we know, and there's so much more to be discovered. And we are in this journey to have that discovery and to share it with others. So I'm very excited to share with you this story. It is a story that was shared by Greg Braden. For those of you who don't know who Greg Braden is, he is a rare blend of scientist, visionary, and scholar with the ability to speak to our minds while touching the wisdom of our hearts. And that was a quote from Deepak Chopra on the book that Greg Braden wrote, which I'll be reading from, called The Isaiah Effect. And so the story goes that Greg was walking down a hallway and he saw a man with children and jewelry in the setting of a restaurant, I believe. And so he says, "Hey, how is it going?" And the man with the children and jewelry said as he walked towards him, "Wonderful." The unexpected greeting of a stranger jolted him into the present. Greg Braden, that is, and he smiled and nodded. "It looks like you have some good helpers," Greg said, gesturing toward his three children, the man's children. The man laughed, and as Greg stopped, he quickly found themselves in a conversation about his jewelry, his wife's artwork, and their four children. So this is, I'll just read it as it's printed. "I was the midwife for each of my children," he said. "I was the first eyes that they saw when they came into this world. My hands were the first hands that touched their body." Within a matter of moments, this man, whom I had never met before, began describing the miracle of birth that he and his wife had experienced four times together. I was quickly moved by his trust and the sincerity of his voice as he shared intimate details of each birth. "It's easy to bring a baby into this world," he said. easy for you to say, I thought to myself. What would your wife say if I were to ask her about having babies? Just as I had the thought, a woman appeared from down the hallway. Immediately, I knew that she and the man were together. They were one of those couples that just look as though they are part of one another. She walked up to us and smiled warmly as she slipped her arm around her husband. I would have passed her display down the hallway if I had not stopped to speak with her husband first. Knowing the answer to the question that I was about to ask, I spoke first. Are you the mother of these beautiful children? The pride in her eyes gave away her answer, even before the words left her mouth. Yes, I am, she replied. I'm the mother to all five of them. With a wide grin that comes from the privilege of sharing years with another person, she laughed and poked her husband in the arm. I caught on immediately. She was referring to him as the fifth child. She held in her arms the fourth and youngest, a small boy, perhaps 2 years old. As he squirmed, his mother placed him feet first on the tiled floor of the restaurant entryway. He stepped to his father, who picked him up in a single motion and cradled him in the crook of one arm. The young boy seated himself upright so he could look directly into his father's eyes, and he remained that way for the rest of our conversation. It was obviously something that they had done many times before. So, it's easy to have a child, I said, as a reminder of where we had left off our conversation before the man's wife had appeared. Usually, he replied, when they are ready, there's not much stopping them. They just shoot right out. With his youngest son still in his arms, the man stopped a little to mimic an athlete catching a ball or a baby in his arms. We all laughed as he and his wife looked at each other. Then as the air of stillness came over the couple as well as their children. Now and then, someone crosses our path in precisely the right moment, with precisely the right words to jolt our memories and awaken possibilities that lie sleeping within each of us. I believe that, on unspoken levels, we work together in this way. In the innocence of the unexpected, a magical moment unfolds. I knew that this was one of those moments. The man looked directly at me. The expression on his face and the feeling in my heart told me that whatever was about to happen was the reason we were together in that moment. Usually there are no problems, the man continued. Once in a while, though, something happens. Something goes wrong. Looking at the young boy in his arms, the man drew the child even closer as he reached up and brushed the hair off the boy's forehead with his hand. For an instant, the two gazed into each other's eyes. I was honored by their ability to share their love without making me feel like an observer. They were allowing me to participate in their moment. It happened with this one, the man continued. We had some problems with Josh. I listened carefully as he continued. Everything was going fine, just the way it should. My wife's water had broken and her labor had progressed to the point where we found ourselves having our fourth home birth. Josh was in the birth canal when suddenly everything stopped. He just stopped coming. I knew that something was wrong. For some reason, I thought back to a police operations manual that I had read years earlier. There was a chapter on emergency birth, with one section dedicated to possible complications. My mind raced to that section. Isn't it funny how just the right things seem to come to our minds at just the right moment? He laughed a nervous laugh as his wife stepped closer, placing her arm around her husband and her youngest child. I knew that they were sharing an experience that had brought the three of them together through a rare bond of intimacy, awe, and wonder. The manual said that every once in a while during birth, the baby may become lodged against the mother's tailbone. Sometimes it's the head, sometimes the shoulder that gets wedged. It's relatively simple procedure to reach inside and free the child. This is just what I believed was happening to Josh. I reached inside my wife, and the most amazing thing happened. I found her tailbone, moved my hand upward just a little bit, and sure enough, I felt Josh's shoulder blade lodged up against the bone. Just as I was about to shift him myself, I felt a movement. It took a moment for me to realize what was happening. It was Josh's hand. He was reaching up towards his mother's tailbone to free himself. As his arm brushed my hand, I was given an experience I believe very few fathers ever had. By this time, we were all in tears. "The story isn't over yet," the man's wife said softly. "Go ahead, tell the rest," she whispered encouragingly to her husband. "I'm getting to that part," he grinned as he wiped his eyes with his hand. As his arm brushed my hand, Josh stopped moving, just for a couple of seconds. I believe he was trying to understand what he had found. Then I felt him again. This time he was not reaching up to free himself from his mother's tailbone. This time, he was reaching for me. I felt his tiny hand move across my fingers. His touch was uncertain at first, as if he were exploring. In just a matter of seconds, there was a strength in his grip. I felt my unborn son reach out and wrap his fingers around mine confidently, as if he knew me. In that moment, I knew that Josh would be okay. Together, the three of us worked to bring Josh into this world, and here he is today. We all looked at the little boy in his father's arms, noticing all eyes on him. Josh nestled his face into his father's shoulder. "He's still a little shy," the man said with a laugh. "I can see why he's so drawn to you," I said. "You two have quite a history together." We looked at one another through the tears that had welled up in each other's eyes. I remember the feeling of awe and wonder and perhaps a little surprise at the intensity of what we had just shared. We all laughed, easing the awkwardness of the moment without detracting from the power of what had been shared. After a few more words and many warm hugs, we said goodnight. I never saw the family again. Now, nearly years later, I don't even know their names. What remains is their story, their openness, and the willingness to share an intimate moment of their lives. Their honesty had touched something very ancient and deep. As I am sharing this story with you, and I've stopped reading now, again, that book and that story was by Greg Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N. The book's name is The Isaiah Effect. That story touched me so deeply, and what it reminded me was that the awe and the wonder that many in humanity have lost, and a lot of it has to do with everything that we are taught. Because we are taught what things are called, why they're called that, why they are where they are, what they do there, why they are not where they are. And my invitation to everyone participating is an invitation that I invited myself to have as well, and that is, go out to a new place in nature. Go out to a new place on your computer, meaning if you can't get somewhere, go to a beautiful picture that you've never been to before. I invite you to stand there, whether you are there physically or intentionally or holographically. And I invite you to look at all of the beauty around you, and to not call it by the name you've been taught, but to look at it as a new landscape that you don't know the name of, but that you invite yourself to be in awe and wonder and inspired in the very beauty itself. And I invite you to create a relationship with that moment. And in that moment, to allow the very beauty that surrounds you to introduce itself to you in that present moment. To introduce itself to you through how you feel about that tree and what it's telling you. How you feel about the picture you're looking at and how it's moving you. We do not know everything. There is so much to be discovered and in awe of and moved and to be a part of. Your own being has more to share with you about who you are, why you're here, and what is not yet experienced by you, but about to be. I invite you to join the beautiful universe as a part of it and the discovery of it. But you have to, just in a moment, leave your comfort zone, leave your fears, leave your anger, leave your frustration, and leave your doubts, and move into a place or even a scenery that speaks of a higher vibration, a place of awe and wonder, and a place where you can relate to yourself differently as well. I invite you all to invite yourselves to have that experience and to know that at every moment, a new experience awaits you. Even during the painful ones, even during the difficult ones, even during the ones that make you crazy, there is within that, at the very core, an opportunity for you to step outside of it and to remember either this story or anything that has moved you, and to rejoin that moment, and to rejoin what never leaves you, and that is the awe and the wonder and the love that continues to give to you from a universal perspective. It doesn't matter what your faith is, what your religion is, what your belief is. Even if you have no belief at this time in your moment of journey, you are co-creating. And I invite you to know that the creator or nature, whatever you want to define it as, that looks upon you, falls in love with you, the awe of you and the wonder of you with every breath and every heartbeat. And that will never change and has not changed, even if you've fallen out of love with yourself. I invite you to see yourself through the eyes of the universe, of God, of Goddess, of Creator, of love, however you want to define it. But remember, just because you have fallen out of hope or out of a higher vision for yourself, does not mean that what has co-created and participated in you, through you, and with you, does not fall in love with you and is not in hope and in awe and in wonder of you every moment. If that is not your knowing, know that it is mine, and I hold that for you, and I have that experience as well. And so I will be that for and with, through, and together as one to be in awe and to be filled with that awe and to allow that awe to reach out and connect with all the magnificent beings I get to meet on this plane of demonstration and others, and to be reminded that love, hope, and beauty, and awe, and wonder lives in every breath you take. So, everyone, thank you so much for participating. Whether it's 1, 10, or 50, I'm in deep gratitude for the opportunity to share and to speak and to invite you, only if it resonates, to contemplate it for yourself. I invite you to come back in 2 weeks from today. I have a very special guest joining me. Her name is Leah. She is a writer, and she has written something that is magnificent, and I can't wait for her to share it with you. So at this time, I would invite everyone who wants to communicate with me to know that I have a website. It's at www.cnancy999. So let's see, my website is cynthia, Cynthia Sloan, LON9.com. Again, Cynthia, Sloan, LON9.com. I also have an email, which is cyns999@gmail.com. Again, you can reach me by email at cyns999@gmail.com. Love and light and endless, endless laughter and joy and amplified abundance and all that you need to be yours. And please return 2 weeks from today. I invite you, tell your friends. And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.